And then see, oh, you look, you brought a poster.
Yep.
That's for y'all. That's like a killer poster.
If you want to keep it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I know we're on. But what I really want to know is, what does Jeff sound like right now?
Now it's time for Homegrown on 94.7 WPBC LP Charlottesville with your hosts, Clinton Johnston and Leslie M. Scott Jones, Charlottesville's only radio show devoted to local arts. And now, here's...
Good morning, Sunday morning. Whether you are an art maker, art breaker, art faker, or an art partaker, welcome all, because of course all are welcome to Homegrown, a show about local art. That's what this is. If you're looking for the Sunday morning wake-up call, they're after this. And if you're looking for the Antique Road Show, wrong network. Wrong network.
What are you doing? Are you okay this morning? Was there
I'm the one called Clinton, and I'm here. I'm here with that voice in my ear, because if it's Sunday morning, you know you got the Jones for Leslie. I'm Scott Jones.
Good morning, Clinton.
Good morning, Leslie. How are you?
I'm well. Was there some medication
there
that was
not
missed
nothing.
For you
there was not
this morning?
Nothing. How's your coffee this morning?
You know what? I haven't had any coffee this morning.
Really? Get out.
I haven't.
No, literally. Seriously, get out. Like you without coffee,
he is now worried.
That's a bad thing. Yeah. What are you already started crawling all up my ass?
Like, oh,
damn! Like coffee less coffee. No coffee.
No coffee.
So this is a word out to all local coffee makers, Shenandoah Joe's, Traeger Brothers. We really need a sponsorship. Because Leslie will drink the hell out of your coffee.
If only, yes, to keep my supply going. Right?
Yeah, please. Yeah. Please. Please. I'm in a very small room with this woman. It's not safe. And you know what also isn't safe?
Okay.
Words aren't safe, which is why we have to do our parental advisory. Right. This show, of course, comes with a parental advisory. At some point in the show, we'll try not to. Good gosh, we will try not to. Mm-hmm. But some point in the show, we may say the word remonstrate. Remonstrate. I don't even know
how to pronounce it.
I don't
even know how to pronounce it.
Because ignorance,
it
because ignorance leads to purity. In our ignorance is our savior. In our ignorance is our salvation.
Wow.
So if you've got little young ones, if you've got little balls of joy and light.
Okay, I'm glad you finished that sentence.
Very important to finish your sentences. And you don't want to have to demonstrate what remonstrate might mean. You should be.
Clinton, you're scaring the guests.
You're advised. Parental advisory. Well, let's take it to the guests right now. Right now, we have producer, MC, the man y'all want to be, fellow man.
Hey, how's it going? I used the word remonstrance in a song one time.
Did you?
Yeah, I'm too grown for the nonsense and confident to show the contents of my soul for your remonstrance. It sounds better in rhythm. I know that sounded kind of whack just now.
That sounded better than what I said. What are you talking about? That sounds great.
Oh, well, thank you. I brought backup with me today.
What it do? How you doing, Charlottesville?
All right.
Y'all know who it is. He's running 215.
He's very awake.
He's very awake.
He's apparently had his coffee.
Yeah, Leslie.
Happy to be with y'all, man.
Leslie, you saw me walk in the door with my little burger. I mean, my non-sponsored burger chain.
Your caffeine drink.
My
yes,
caffeine
I saw
drink.
That.
From a place that does not give us money to say their name.
Right.
There you go.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I needed it. I was running a little late. I said I need to stop and get something because I need to be wide awake on the microphone.
There you go. But so another shout out to any coffee places out there. Starbucks, you want a mud house? You want to put a little something right next to our studio? I guarantee you, you'll sell some coffee.
Oh yeah, you'll sell some coffee.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It may only be me, but you'll sell some coffee.
Maybe that's what I should do in order to to subsidize my role here is just open up a little coffee hut right next to the studio, go back and forth between the two.
Always thinking. You're
that
always...
and panhandling.
Oh, that's, my goodness.
That's my, that's what... So, Phil, what's up with you, Phil, man? How things going?
Nothing, man. It's been a good week and a good weekend, and I'm here to announce that today,
what's going on
is
today?
The release of my brand new mixtape, Raw Data Volume 1.
Oh, yes!
And I think we have a track or two that we might play later on.
Yeah.
And, for now, I'm just here to say what's up and talk about the project. And
so you guys are returning guests because you guys were one of our very first guests on this show.
Yeah.
We consider you part of the homegrown family for that.
Well, thank you.
You helped inaugurate us.
And y'all have had a lot of rappers lately, too. You had us on before. You had Bernard and Chance on. You
That's
had Lady Tage.
Yeah.
You had Fly Deezy. Y'all are becoming the spot.
We're, you know... When we say local art, we mean local art.
That's what's up.
Yeah, yeah.
There
we're appreciative.
There you go. Actually,
the scene loves you for it.
Excellent. Well, we love the scene. We love the artistic scene. So you guys together are Spit It Out, Inc. This is a solo project for you. How is that different? What can listeners hear from the Fellow Man mixtape that's going to make it different from what they hear Fellow Man in Spit It Out, Inc.?
That's a good question. Celebrating the goodness of the question. Yeah. This is a lot of unvarnished me. If you feel that I am the weak link in Spit It Out, which I'm sure there are some people that feel that way, then you're probably not going to want this project.
No.
But...
No one would ever feel that way. Why would you say that?
It's funny because, you know, I was actually hoping to talk a little bit about this today. You know, as a white person, I'm very conscious of my place within the culture, hip hop culture, that is. And doing a solo project, I was kind of wondering, because everything I do, I try to decenter myself and center people of color. Which is why I love being part of Spit It Out, Inc. It's not, you know, just me as a white dude on stage being like, hey, listen to my raps, my cool ass raps. So, I mean, but I, you know, I'm also an artist and I had a lot of things I needed to get off my chest and a lot of, you know, a lot of tracks I needed to make, a lot of beats I wanted to mess with. And, I thought the time was right to put out my own little solo project and, you know, have it brand it Raw Data. This is volume 1. All right, that's what's up. Yeah, this is volume 1. There's going to be volumes 2 and 3 hopefully coming shortly with subtitles that I might actually be able to say on the air this time.
Oh, look at that. It's nice when we move forward.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about the art that you have on your case here.
I know you want to talk about that poster.
Yeah.
You're just looking at that poster.
I'm staring this poster down.
And be assured that poster's going up on this wall.
Oh yeah. So you have taken a photograph of yourself burning the Confederate flag.
Burning a flag?
Yeah.
Burning a flag? Oh, it's the Confederate flag? Okay, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Or is that not just like a little fire. It's not like you just like let the, you know, put the flag on fire. You let, right. It's like a little bonfire in front of you as you burn it. And you've got this kind of little smirk on your face as you do it, which I'm proud about. But how did that become the image for this album?
The Confederate flag, or as I like to call it, the flag of sore losing racists.
Yes.
The flag of treason.
Yes.
You know, I was trying to think of an image that would encapsulate a lot of what I talk about on the record. And a lot of it, obviously, you know, knowing me and us and, you know, the position that we come from, a lot of it is social justice oriented. And there's a lot of anger that I'm dealing with on this record. I'm kind of exercising a lot of demons on this, actually.
That's always good.
Yeah, the last track on the album is has a feature by my boy J Mark, aka Do Justice from Richmond. What's up? Hope you're listening. And the song is called Absalom, Absalom. which is a reference to the Faulkner novel about essentially about white people grappling with the white people in the South grappling with the legacy of the Confederacy. And that's more or less what the entire album is. And you can see I'm proudly sporting my VA cap
yes.
on the cover. So, you know, white hip hop artist from Virginia burning a Confederate flag with, as you say, a little smirk. that was the first image that came into my head as to how to best visually represent what I got going here.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it definitely works. It's really powerful. Like, when I saw it, I was like, oh, I know exactly what this is about.
Why, thank you.
So, here's a question for both of you. And because you brought it up, and I think it's a great thing to bring up, race in rap, and specifically, actually not even, I won't even say specifically whiteness in rap, but I want to generalize it to race in rap, because I remember when, I mean, there's been a long history mm-hmm. in American history of African Americans producing popular music mm-hmm. that's labeled black music that gets popular, hits the mainstream, and suddenly loses the black music label as white people start to do it and take over it. And then black people leave it, do another type of music, and the cycle repeats. And I remember that when rap started, or when hip-hop really started going, it almost felt like there was a little bit of a struggle. It almost felt like there was a little bit of a panic. There was almost a feeling of, oh crap, from white quarters, like there's no way we can co-opt this. Like this is gonna be the one black music
surprise.
That stays black music. And then mm-hmm. you know, people like Vanilla Ice came up and we were like, yeah, no. But that didn't stay, and people like Eminem broke down those doors, and
it was way before that,
but
bro.
But yeah, way before that.
Way before that, you had Third Base before that.
That's right. You know, and the Beastie Boys.
Yeah, you had Young Black Teenagers before that. Mm-hmm. Beastie Boys. What people fail to understand is in that corridor where hip hop started, like the New York, Jersey, Philly area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was white people were involved too. It wasn't just black. It was white people. If you lived near our neighborhood and you associated with us, you were involved in that too, you know, because that was who you hung around. That was where, when there were parties and everything going on, that was where you went to, you know. You didn't, you know, unless you were, now if you was from the suburbs or something, it was a little different. But if you lived in the neighborhood like I lived in, you know, there was people involved. It was all colors, all different races of people, and they all gave their little collective to hip hop.
So, right.
You know, so it didn't start out as that. That's why it's so universal right now.
Right. Right.
Yeah. From my perspective, I mean, I am from the suburbs. I think for a long time I was an appropriator. And it's taken me until the last 2 or 3 years to realize that in the music I made, I was, you know, I rapped in a fake accent and I would, you know, talk about stuff that I'd never done. And
nice save.
Yeah.
Nice save.
And, you know, I would say words that I probably shouldn't be saying, that I definitely shouldn't be saying. Not the N word, but, you know, stuff like ghetto and hood and that kind of thing.
Right.
You know, and it's taken me, you know, I find that to be a part of my life and kind of my artistic trajectory that's pretty shameful for me. And it's taken me a while to find that line between appropriation and appreciation.
Okay, so yeah, we talked about that last week. Because the arc of a rapper.
Briefly, with Fly DZ, right?
Yeah, with Fly DZ last week, because I think we, as listeners, take for granted.
And if you missed that, you can go and listen to that last week's interview at SevoPodcast.com.
Oh, my God. There should have been medication for him this morning.
Crazy with the plug.
Gotta work it!
But we talked about it with him a little bit because, like I said, as listeners, for whatever reason, we don't seem to give rappers the same leeway we give even other musicians, let alone other especially like visual artists or, and you know, we talked about it a little bit with Russell Richards, how when he changed the things that he was doing, he lost a lot of his audience. So what is it, how do you still keep your audience when your arc is changing and what you're talking about gets deeper or more socially relevant? Like, how do you as rappers try and bring your audience along?
I think for me, as I've gotten more honest in my subject matter, I've gained audience. You know, we have a saying in our culture, real recognize real. And there's nobody that's going to recognize you if you're not being real.
Right.
And, you know, honestly, the audience that you get, the audience that I would get if I were being fake, is not an audience I would want.
Exactly. And I talk about it from my perspective. Being a hip hop artist, it's more to it than that with me, because I do activism through it. And, you know, I talk about things that affect, you know, a neighborhood where I'm from, or this neighborhood where I'm living in, you know, or the struggle that I'm going through. So I'm actually, you know, a voice for the hood. So that's the audience I want. And I don't want just anybody to listen to me. I want, you know, people who can relate to that to listen to me. You know, that's the audience I want. So I'm not really catering to no particular type of audience. You know, it's just, right, I'm just doing me, speaking me. And if you relate, you relate. You know, that's how it's supposed to be.
See, it seems to me that is one of the, it is both the power and the challenge of hip hop, this creed to keep it real. Right. Mm-hmm. And if you can do that, it's the sincerity, it's the honesty, it's like I said, it's that creed that can really make it very appealing for hip hop. And at the same time, the challenge is once it becomes commercial, once you start thinking about the business, other forces come in, and if there are certain statements that sell, then the business machine says, let's have more of those statements because we want to sell more of that stuff. If this is the type of thing that people buy when people talk about it, we want more people who are talking about that one thing. And suddenly what's real, you only get one version of what's real. And then suddenly if you're doing a different reality, if you're speaking from yourself, but what's real to you is not what's popularly real, people can say, well, man, you're not keeping it real. It's like, no, I'm, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying?
Well,
am I making any sense?
Yeah, you're making sense. This is what I got to say. You know, I don't know about anybody else or anybody else's record label or what they're doing, but when it comes to spit it out, that's the way we're going to keep it. We're not going to fake on you. I can't be fake. It's hard for a brother like me to do that. Mm-hmm. I can't be fake. So I'm going to say what I'm going to say. The industry don't run me, because me and my man here, and Remy St. Clair, we run Spit It Out. Nobody speaks for us. We do it ourselves. You know, so nobody's going to come up and tell us, well, you got to say this or you got to say that. No, we keep it free. We say what we say, what's on our minds, and hopefully it's something that's positive and progressive and can grasp, you know, on to other people in the way they're thinking, you know, or the way they feeling, or motivate people to do something, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's it, but we're not going to fake on you.
All right. You want to do a drop? No, I want to play one of these drops. Well, we should do a drop first. It's drop time. It's dropped 19 minutes past the hour.
Y'all are the...
Hi, this is Jason Burke of the Six Pack Songwriter Series. You're listening to 94.7 FM, Homegrown.
Dropped, baby!
Are you happy now?
Like, I am so happy now.
Dropped as if it were hot.
Dropped as if it were hot. Dropped as if it's the knowledge that you can't get in college. So stay tuned after this, of course, for the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host, Rick Moore. His guests today will be Kate Acuff, the Albemarle County School Board Chair, and Rosalind Schmidt, the Assistant Director of Facilities and Planning. Bet you they're talking about schools. Hey, let's hear what Fellow Man's talking about.
Fella man beat that MC with the propensity to get intensely funky like some head cheese. Where my Benji's, my dog's got jaws like bench leaves. If skills sold, my little toe would go for 10 G's. I weigh 100 pounds, get the giant popping like the runaround. Welcome to the underground, feet stay planted on the planet while my spirits stay upward bound. Lyric lift you to the summit, then plunge you down. My man said dead the microphone, hero-ish. Stack your C-notes thick, then you can ego trip. I got salty like a Frito chip, cause I believe. Believe in this, it ain't about an East Coast tip. Fella never claimed that he low clips. Never claimed to be so rich. Never call a queen no bitch. Never diss a rap because the beat don't hit. He throw wit at the empire with the beat no wit. For mine. You know I do it for my sons and daughters. Hey, for mine. You know I do it for my. For my sons and daughters. Hey, I don't freestyle a lot, but when I do, it's kinda hot, cause I defile the spot. I'm not the type that you should try to stop. It's no surprise I drop pearls off the dome, cause like the hymn says, this world is not my home. See, I'm a native of the spiritual plane, but I came to this planet to bring the lyrical pain to anyone that's interfering with change. Make it clear to the layman, this shit is not mere entertainment. If I appear to be brazen, it's in the spirit of saying that anything you want is here for the taking. Long as you don't adhere to the lame trends, steer clear of the fake friends. Remember, you a miracle made flesh. This life will put you through a myriad paces. Haters that are jeering your faces. Unforeseen changes, they may be weird, but embrace them. Each fear that you face will bring you nearer to greatness. For my you know what, do it for my.
Yeah, sons and daughters. But Fellow Man, off his new mixtape, Raw Data Volume 1. The soul of the.
Yep, exactly. Available at fellowmanrap.bandcamp.com. Out today. Fellowmanrap.bandcamp.com. Sorry, I messed that up. Let me say it one more time.
Okay.
Fellowmanrap.bandcamp.com.
Yeah.
Dig it. So you produced those beats yourself.
I did, yes. That's all me.
So I've heard another track from the, and that's a great track. A lot of it reminds me of some Diggable Planets, a lot of jazz influence in that.
Yeah.
There's another track, very different sound to the beat, sort of a West Coast sound to the beat.
Mm-hmm.
What are your musical influences, do you think, in terms of the beats that you work with?
Musically, I mean, like, I'll spit over anything I like, you know, anything that's hot. That's all I really am drawn to in a beat. In terms of the beats I make, lately, you know, I also play in a heavy metal band, doom sludge metal, Bell Dom. I'm actually wearing the shirt today, little cross promo, you know.
I see that.
And yeah, we played last night at the Tom Tom metal showcase at Champion. So lately, like, I've been more immersed in that, there's a lot of more metal and hard rock influences to what I make. I've got some samples on this mixtape, some Black Sabbath, some Candlemass, some Led Zeppelin. But I mean, really, you know, I am one of those people who really means it when they say they listen to everything. Mm-hmm. So like, if it's good, you know, I listen mm-hmm. to it. So I'll draw influences from anything and everything, really. I wish I had a more wish I had a more creative answer to that, but that's just kind of how it is. Oh, sorry.
That's all right. So do you ever work with other producers, and you ever go over other people's beats? And if so, what's that like?
He spit to a bunch of my beats that I made. I mean, Fellow Man is that dude, yo. If you're looking for lyricism and creativity and off the wall type, you know, bars, this the guy right here.
Somebody that'll throw the word remonstrance into a verse.
yes. You never know what you're gonna get when this guy, you know, hits the mic and spits on it.
Yeah, it's funny because, you know, a lot of people complain about
producers that are also rappers, and they say, oh, they save all the good beats for themselves.
You know, I was wondering about that.
And, I mean, I do. Yeah, it's hard not to, because I know the ins and the outs and the ups and the downs of the beat I made. I mean, I'm tuned into it as much as somebody possibly can be. So I know how to freak it. Somebody else jump on the beat. You're like, nah, you got to emphasize this part here. And, you know, you got to syncopate it in this certain way, whatever. But, yeah, I love music. And that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
That's a good story. That's a good story. That deserves to be stuck too. Indeed. Hey, let's hear another track from the new mixtape.
To know that some of the best squad living check to check while pests are clocking them less hardships. It's a horrible lack of purity. They full of ish like a mortgage-backed security. Your luxury paid for in blood money. The unsung laborer done grungy. Originated dust bunny. Swept under the rug money. Don't just ask the drummer from Mud Honey. But when the flood come rushing, they won't be chuckling. The levee gonna break and the umbrellas get they nugget then. Trust this, the arc of history bends toward justice.
I believe that, homie, I believe that. I believe that, homie, I believe that.
But conciliation right. Is a sneak trap. I believe that by Fella Man.
And if you listen to that track in full, you have a very delicious verse by my man right here, Run 215.
Yo! That is true. That is true. I was listening to that. I was like, that's Run! I know who that is.
Yeah. What he doing on here?
He's unmistakable. Fellowmanrap.bandcamp.com. One more time. I also have a limited run of 100 CDs. If you want a CD, you're just going to have to. Yeah, come see me. It's free, by the way. Everything free. No money.
Come get that.
Free 99, as we like to say.
Free 99.
Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, so it's free.
Yes, ma'am.
And how much money did you put into making this?
I refuse to answer on the grounds that it may incriminate me.
Or it may make you cry.
It may incriminate me. Yes.
Right. Don't worry, we're going to make up for it. Yeah.
So why is it free?
Because I have really low self-esteem.
Oh, stop.
Pump it up.
Yeah. No, there's uncleared samples and industry beats on here. And, I could get sued for charging people money. And also, but I mean, I never, you know, I wouldn't charge for this. It's a mixtape. We are in the free mixtape era. And if people, you know, even if you do ask money for it, people that want are going to get it for free anyway. So.
Yeah, somewhere. Yeah.
Now, what y'all could do, if you do want to pay, y'all could come to some Rugged Art shows. And that, you know, put in your $5.
Let me tell you, I've been to a couple. You guys put it down. Like, yeah. there are some really talented people that show up. I mean, yes. And not just from Charlottesville. Like, people come from Richmond, from, like, Lynchburg. New York. I mean. Mm-hmm.
New York, the Valley.
Mm-hmm.
Shenandoah, not the one in California. No.
Well, I'm working on that, though.
You don't have those Silicon Valley rappers?
MC Microchip.
Just because you said it, somebody's going to name themselves that. You know that, right?
But really, yeah, you have some really, really, really talented artists around here, around the Charlottesville area, around the, you know, Northern Virginia area, all of
you know, VA, man. You know, much respect to him.
So when's your next showcase?
Right now, we are working on that.
Okay.
But I will have something to you to advertise.
Oh, yeah. Let us know. We will put a plug in.
There is no said date yet for the next Rugged Arts. However, this coming Saturday, April 23rd, we have the second annual No Filter Rap Battle.
Yes!
No Filter at UVA's Runk Hall in the Green Room. It is free if you bring a can of food for the food bank. And as local rappers, we got Tim Sauce versus KG. We got Versity Rel versus Raven. And we got Tech Antonio versus Yeshua the Apostle. So y'all going to want to come see that. Also, live performances by Quinn Books and others. TBA is going to be dope. It's going to be really fun. The last time we had over 100 people in attendance, we're trying to crack that this time.
Good times, man.
All right. Nice.
Give the where and when again for that.
Runk Green Room at 6 o'clock on Saturday, April 23rd. No Filter Rap Battle.
Fellow man, Run, Spit It Out, Inc., thank you guys so much for coming. Bandcamp, give the Bandcamp thing again.
Okay, I'm going to give all my plugs right quick. Okay, fellowmanrap.bandcamp.com is where you get the mixtape. Find us on Facebook at Spit It Out, SPITITOUT. My Instagram is fellowman_spititout, and Twitter is spititout_INC. Holla at us.
Mm-hmm. For real, you know, I like to thank y'all for having us, you know, of course. And, yo, really, catch this raw data, man. Y'all need to hear it, man. It's great work. Fellow man put in hard work on it, man. You know, I'm really proud of him. I'm really proud of the project, you know, and hopefully y'all guys will be proud of it, too. Just come scoop that, for real.
Mm. Looking forward to it. Looking forward to having you guys back. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
All right, time to check out some of the artistic things going on around town.
More Spit It Out.
This time, more Spit It Out. More stuff to spit it out about. Today's the last day that you can see the Polaroid stories at Guerrilla Theater. Greek myth meets modernity on the fringes of modern urban society. It's a special evening performance today, not a matinee for those people who work on Sundays. Also, it's the last day of the Tom Tom Festival. Catch the events, catch the madness, tomtomfest.com. And two auditions today at Live Arts, the Live Arts Teen Theater Company's summer musical, Nice Work If You Can Get It, for kids from ages from 14 to 20, and also auditions for the summer musical, Seussical, ages 8 to 14, both of those at Live Arts today. This is also the last day if you want to head over to Richmond to catch the Performers Exchange Project. Their latest show, The Convolution of Pip and Twig, is playing at Dogtown Dance Theater in Richmond. Check them out, pipandtwig.com. Currently running at the Crozet branch of the Jefferson Madison Regional Library from now until April 30th. How do you haiku? Submit a haiku about books, readings, or libraries, and the library's creative writing group, Musings, will select the one they like for display. Contest is open to young poets from grades 6 to 12. Also currently running until May 7th, hunter-gatherers at Live Arts. Two couples have dinner and fall into a frank discussion of being on top, being on the bottom, and how humans are just animals after all. I think there is sexual content and maybe the sacrifice of a goat or a lamb.
Excuse me? I'm
not sure. It's some wacky stuff at Live Arts.
Sacrifice?
Check out livearts.org. April 14th, the Charlottesville Ballet presents Snow White Storytime for kids aged 5 and up at the Jefferson Madison Regional Library Crozet Branch. A Charlottesville ballet ballerina will read the classic fairy tale and teach introductory ballet steps. Once again, Crozet JMRL. April 17th, Amuse Bouche by Victory Hall Opera Company. We just spoke to Miriam Gordon Stewart about that last week. You can catch that interview if you missed it if you go to SeaVillePodcast.com. April 20th. Oh, this is a big one. Check this out. Okay, so April 20th is a feature film adaptation of the Shakespearean classic. It's called Romeo and Juliet in Harlem. It's brought to you by the Virginia Film Festival, the Virginia Foundation for the Humanities, the Virginia Shakespeare Initiative, and JMRL. And it's playing at the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center. 7 to 9:30 on April 20th. If you really want to be hardcore, 4 o'clock that same day, you can go to Lighthouse and hear a talk by the film's maker, Alita Chappelle. Just can't miss that.
I'm going.
Can't miss that. April 21st, Big Blue Door Improv Night at Sea Evil Coffee. They take a door, they make it blue, they improv it. No, something like that. April 23rd, Snow White by the Charlottesville Ballet at the V. Earl Dickerson Building at PVCC. April 28th to April 30th, it's the Spring Dance Concert at UVA. And April 28th, also New City Arts Spring Dinner. It's a 3-course meal and raffle with performing artists between the courses at 6 p.m. at Old Metropolitan Hall. And from April 29th to May 1st, the Jefferson School African American Heritage Center presents Keith Lee Dances from Mr. Lynch's Burg. Tickets available now online at jeffersonschoolheritagecenter.org. That's jeffersonschoolheritagecenter.org. April 30th, Charlottesville Writer House has another seminar coming up, Writing from Life with instructor Rebecca Taylor. For more info, www.writerhouse.org. And here is just some of the many musical events that you can hit in this coming week. Oh my gosh, it's a monster week. April 20th, the 8th annual VSA Music Concert at Carver Record Center. Also April 20th, Open Mic Night at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. The 21st, Gina Sobel at Pro Renata Farm Brewery. And the same night, A Night of New Music by UVA's New Music Ensemble in Old Cabell Hall. And if that new music doesn't thrill you, Skip Haga at Dirty Nellies, April 21st. April 22nd, Fridays After 5 begins, opening with local band Kendall Street Company. Also going on April 22nd, our man Daryl Rose presents Talking Drums with Mosiah Salim at Sivo Coffee.
Love him.
April 22nd, DJ 2 at Tavern on the James. And the Backwoods Saints from King George, Virginia at Blue Moon Diner. Also, there's an open music jam down at Scottsville, James River Brewery in Scottsville. All over for local art. And Harrisonburg's Madly Backwards plays at Wild Wolf Brewery. Of course, every Monday, singer-songwriter night at the local. Every Wednesday, Bob Bonetta at Cafe Katura. And also the Mike Rosensky and Jeff Decker Quartet at Miller's. If you can't stand the jazz, then get out of my room. But you can also, on Wednesday, go see Jim Wave at the Blue Moon Diner. And every Thursday, it's Woolen Writers Revival, hosted by Will Thomas Reed and Brian Craddock at Firefly. And of course, every Thursday at Miller's, it's the John Dearth Quintet, because every once in a while, you just got to come down to Dearth. If you are an artist and have an event, contact us. Let us know. We'd love to let other people know. www.facebook.com/homegrownwpvc, or you can email it to us at our email address, homegrown947@gmail.com. That's just some of the wonderful art in our wonderfully artistic town.
Hey, this is Michael Clem. You are listening to Homegrown on 94.7 WPVC.
37 minutes past the hour, and you are with us and ready for our next guest. Actually, who knows if you're ready for our next guest?
I don't think anybody's ever ready for our next, not completely.
Who can be?
Nobody can be.
Who can be?
Because, you know, he's very small, but he's got a big personality.
He's taller than I am.
Well, yes, but he's smaller than you. I mean, he's like...
Everyone's smaller than me.
No.
You're saying he's
Hey, I didn't
slim.
Say it. I just want... The record must show I did not say that. I can repeat it because he said it first.
Let's take it to the director of Bent Theater Improv Comedy, Mr. Andy Davis.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me this morning.
Thank you for coming. And finally, our snowed out show is mended. Final rebooking from our snowed out show.
I woke up in a cold sweat this morning because my apartment, I don't know why, but it was exceptionally cold in my apartment this morning. And I was like, it happened again.
No.
Oh, no. Sprinted outside, hadn't put on shoes or anything. Okay, we're good. Where are my keys?
It's all going to be all right.
Yes, we're good.
It's So, Andy, how are things going at Bent Theater?
Things are going great.
You guys have been gigging on a regular schedule, right?
It's been nice to kind of have that regular thing going again. We kind of slowed down for a little while when, we lost our primary home, but then things developed. We have two regular venues that we're working out of again. We rebranded this year. We launched our brand new logo and website.
I like the new logo.
I love it.
The new logo.
Love it. I give props to our artist, but I forget her name. It hurts me so bad. But she does get credit on our website. She is credited there. She's extremely
talented. And what's that
talented.
URL?
It's benttheater.com. Theater spelled T-R-E because we are fancy. And I feel really bad now, and I'm gonna just hang my head in shame for a second here.
But you all have to go to the website now to read the artist's name so that she can get her proper props.
Ari. First name is Ari. Last name, that's last name I don't
remember.
It's
coming to you.
Yeah, I'll run in during the next segment and be like, it's this!
Yeah, it'll get here.
Is this an improv bit right now? I need a name of an artist.
Everything is an improv bit, Clinton. You know that.
So, what's coming up specifically for Bent Theater that people should know about?
Ooh, okay. The big thing right now is our late spring, early summer semester of our Improv 101 class.
Improv 101.
Yes.
And you said that your singing voice was gone.
It's just that was a recording.
It was not. You didn't push a button.
It's in his pocket. It's
I wait for you.
I helped him rig the whole thing up. It's insane.
I'll push your button, all right. You may not like the one I choose to push.
Tell us about Improv 101.
Okay, Improv 101 is an 8-week class that we take. We take people who are interested in improv or looking to improve their theater, their theater performances, or even their public speaking, or just somebody who wants to have a little bit of fun, and we teach them the fundamentals. And I'm a big advocate of it because when I started doing improv, I was not the big personality that you claim I am, and I'm still not certain I want to believe you. But I did theater, but it was really just this would get me out of my parents' house for a few nights a week.
Oh,
but okay. Then I did this, and now obnoxious comes to mind a lot. I became loud and outgoing, gregarious.
That's a good one.
And it helped me find an aspect of my personality that I didn't know I had, and it made me. I used to be a 5'5" redheaded woman from the Midwest, and no longer
without the aid or benefit of surgery.
That didn't happen. It just overnight.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm. That's what improv can do for you.
Wow, Bruce Jenner must be upset right now.
Results may vary.
So what kind of things do you put these people through in your because I've seen these classes, Andy.
Well, mostly, it is getting people out of the internet age of comedy where we see something and we go, look at this thing. This thing is so weird. Look at it right there. See how weird this is? Or the Family Guy version of comedy where it's
right.
Where you want to be referential as opposed to being real and in the moment just and you try to break people of that and just say, no, just act. Act. We all learned how to do improv as theater people when it was like, here's your script. The script is only 30 pages, 35, 40 pages long. It says this person says this line and goes over here. It doesn't say John crosses slowly downstage left, looking off downstage right, holding a glass of scotch between his thumb and forefinger with a feeling of ennui. No, it doesn't say all of that.
Oh, wee. I love it.
Your scripts would be 800 pages long if you had to explain everything. So you get a little bit of context and you just have to figure out everything else. That's the thing. And now what I try to do is just say, okay, now we're going to strip out the rest of that stuff. We're going to get one word and you can make everything else work, but you should still just build slowly. It's a,
See, that's so great to hear because I feel like in the past, I feel like, it's not that I feel like, I know. In the past, I've seen improv groups and I can see what they've worked on and what they haven't worked on. Mm-hmm. And I can see them working on listening. I can see them working on committing, and I can see them working on the yes and that we talked about when you were on the show before. Mm-hmm. But I also see so many of them who haven't worked on basic acting skills.
Right.
Right. Improv, especially in town, I think when improv started, there was the sort of feeling of, oh, it's not like theater. It's not, because, you know, there's like live arts is theater and there's a sort of stuffiness about theater. We're not that. If you're like concerned or scared or intimidated, we can be the place for that. But, you know, there are basic theater skills that you need.
Yeah, we're the alt rock punk version of theater. Rock and roll in the basement. Yeah.
We scream, give me a title of a haiku in a crowded theater.
I need a celebrity that died in the last 5 years.
Don't say Bowie. God.
No, it should be seen as theater, which is why we kept why we're called Bent Theater and not something else, because we are theater performers and we should be considered theater performers. We don't want, and we get that question. I hate answering that question, but I kind of bring it on ourselves, I guess, where we have to say, no, we're not a building. We don't have a building. We're more of a band. But the theater aspect is something that we want to make sure that we keep. So, that we have to still have that.
Hi, I'm Russell Richards, and you're listening to Homegrown on WPVC.
46 minutes past the hour. If you're just joining us, we're here with Andy Davis, director of Bent Theater Improv. Yeah. Stay tuned afterwards, for Sunday Morning Wake Up Call with your host, Rick Moore, his guest today, Kate Acuff from the Albemarle School Board. She's the Albemarle School Board Chair, and also Rosalind Schmidt, the Assistant Director of Facilities Planning. I'm pretty sure that she does not pronounce her name like that, although I'm also pretty sure that she should.
I would pitch it to her. I think we lack a lot of inflection in a lot of our name pronunciations.
We so do.
My name doesn't really work for it, but a lot of people's would work really well for it.
So instead of Clinton, you want Clinton?
Clinton.
Actually, you know what I want? I want Clinton.
Clinton?
Yes. Yes, because very quickly, here's the thing. English speakers rarely actually pronounce my name correctly, because we turn the O into an I. If you think about it, people usually say Clinton,
yeah,
effectively. And mm-hmm. I didn't hear someone actually differentiate the vowels until I was in college with my Puerto Rican hallmate, Marco. And Marco would come down the hall and say, "Hey, Clinton." I'm like, there it is.
After all these years.
Now I recognize my name. Marco, I love you.
Like, it wasn't that Clinton didn't, you know, had a problem with authority in school. It's just nobody ever called him by his name. So.
There you go. Did you want me? Did you want? That's not my name.
That's not my name.
So let me ask you.
Go.
Do you find it difficult to teach people comedy these days?
Sometimes. It's when you see the people who come in and expect that they're just going to be able to wing a story out of nothing, or they're going to be able to do this. You have to build from somewhere. There are people who are naturally funny, mm-hmm. and I have to grind my molars every time I see them, because I'm like, you're going to be impossible to teach to do the real stuff.
Right.
I'm going to go out there and I'm going to break into a long soliloquy about some sad moment in my life, and you're going to have a punchline just like that, with no buildup, with no nothing. But if you teach people the base, again, you go back to that real emotional level, and you teach them the kind of more melodramatic, farcical kind of comedy to build from first. And then as they get there, you know, I remember doing homework in the back of cars on the way to shows, like where we were doing like teenage and kid shows, mm-hmm. where we're like flipping through like teen magazines to get caught up on like one of the, what's pop culturally relevant. But, yeah, I mean, it's there is so much comedy, and you see so many people who just are able to, I mean, everybody on Vine or YouTube thinks that they're funny, and a lot of them, yeah, let's be honest, a lot of them are, but there's a lot of bad stuff as well, but you just see that, and people expect to be able to just recycle what they see and have it to still be good. So having people like get past all of that stuff, get past the referential stuff, and try to get to something real and genuine, unique for them, that's hard.
How long does the class go for, and is the class a feeder into Bent Improv itself?
The class is 8 weeks. On Monday nights, about two and a half hours, depending on how much of a fang I get into. It used to be a feeder. We changed it around this year because there are very talented improvisers in the area who we've wanted to get an opportunity to get in to the group. So we actually offer auditions as well. The class is a good background. You get to know me, and I get to know your style. You get to work a little bit with the Bent Theater people, so that way when the auditions do come around, we can be like, okay, we know what you can do, and we know we can work with you. We're offering auditions the 25th, so a couple of days after the class starts. So if people are interested, if people are interested in doing this, but maybe don't have the time for the class and they think they're good enough, they can hop on in and give it a shot. And we're looking to fill, I think, 3 to 5 spots.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Is that because people have just become too busy, or?
Well, I mean, it's always good to stir the pot. Like, we went, when Play On closed up shop, we lost a regular home, we lost a regular place to teach classes, and you know, people have things that go on in their lives. I mean, I'm doing this and other plays. Hi, yes. Leslie.
Yes.
We've got people who are working on comic books, we've got people who are musically inclined and doing stuff, you know, people whose jobs take them all over the state and, you know, keep them very, very busy. So having a larger pool to pull from is always good for us. We love everybody. Like, I don't consider anybody who's ever taken the class up until this point, we consider them a Bent Theater member whenever they have the time to be a member.
Cool, cool. Andy, thank you so much for coming to be with us again. Really quickly, what type of people can get stuff from your improv class, and when is the improv? Give the when, where, and what.
We are looking for theater people. We are looking for class clowns. We are looking for anybody who is quick with a pun. We are looking for, says Clinton is being ushered closer to the mic. we're looking for people who want, who think they have a voice and want something fun to do. Maybe they don't want to commit to learning a whole bunch of lines, but they would like to, you know, do some acting. The class is starting on Monday, the 23rd, of April at 7:30 p.m. at Guerrilla Theater. If you're interested, you can sign up for it at benttheater.com, theater spelled T-R-E, because we're fancy. If you just want to... If you just want to take a shot at the auditions as well, no previous experience is needed. If you got the chops, we got the spots. So you can drop in on at Guerrilla Theater again on Wednesday the 25th at 7:30 p.m. and give it a shot.
Andy, thank you very much.
Oh, you are always welcome.
And now's the time that everyone's been waiting for. In fact, I'm pretty sure this is the time where people just exclusively tune into the show for. It's the part of the show we call Leslie's Weekly Rant.
Oh, why, thank you, Clinton. So, Erykah Badu has been in some hot water this week. She's been tweeting hard, trying to clarify her position on a comment she made concerning the, air quotes, proper length of a girl's attire. She mentions an article about a school who changed the dress code for girls due to a concern that girls wearing short skirts would unduly arouse the male teachers. Just let that sink in for a second. Before I talk about her comments, I just want to take a minute to talk about the problem with the article. First, if you have a teacher that's distracted from his job by one of his female high school students to the point where it affects his ability to teach, you don't have a teacher. You have a pedophile. You got 99 problems, and a girl's skirt length ain't one. Second, what grown man can't control himself in front of a pretty woman? If you get so flustered in front of the female form that you can't function, you got some work to do before you can walk in this society. Third, let's be perfectly clear. We're talking about high school age girls. This is the beginning of them discovering their sexuality. And although it may make their parents dissolve into puddles on the floor to think about it, it's happening younger and younger. That has to do with two things: the sexualization of women through media and entertainment, and the lack of parental involvement in a teen's life. Now, I'm not blaming parents. I'm saying the way teens operate today is much different from when I was coming up. My parents didn't know everything, but they knew when I was messing up, and they corrected me. Whether that meant a stern talking to or a foot up my ass to give me a backbone until I grew one of my own, you know what I'm saying. Now, on to Miss Badu. I agree that when children, not just girls, go to school, they should be dressed appropriately. They should be dressed to learn. All this BS about who's wearing what is nonsense, and it distracts from the reason that they are there. However, without a federal law saying that all schools should provide uniforms for students, I don't think that's going to happen. And let's face it, the ACLU would lose their ever-loving mind if they tried. However, the policing of women's bodies has really become a thing. Well, it was always a thing. Husbands telling wives what they could wear, rape victims shaming, saying her attire said she wanted it. I don't think this needs to be something we start earlier. However, I agree that women need to be aware that not all men are as evolved as they should be. And some teenage boys seem to not have the capacity to get there at all. It should be an opportunity to teach young people the correct way to behave in a highly sexualized society. It should be a moment to take that boy and girl aside and say, she's a human being. You're a human being. Right now, you're treating her like a possession, a thing that you can use for your enjoyment and then discard. And that is not right. And she does not have to accept that kind of behavior because it's degrading. What does this have to do with art? I'll tell you. The more we can educate our children, these future artists, these future adults who will one day run this country, about how to interact with dignity with their fellow human beings. This is how we change and deepen the art we create and celebrate. When we can have respect and admiration for everyone in this lovely melting pot we champion so often during patriotic rhetoric, then we will also create art that celebrates everyone. Then we can start to create stories that are deep and rich and moving, stories that will tell the truth about what it means to live here in this time, in this place, and in this space. That's the only type of art that interests me. And that's the Weekly Rant.
Really? Really?
What?
I mean, that had nothing to do with art. That had nothing to do with art. That was your connection to what this had to do with art. That was the slimmest and trimmest of connections. That connection was so sheer that no self-respecting high school principal would let anyone wear that connection to school and think that that was a valid connection to be walking around the hallways with. That's just like that, really. Yeah, there was no kid. So why can't you just admit it? Why can't you just admit it? You just wanted to talk about that. You just wanted to talk about that. And you didn't care whether or not there was an actual connection to something actually artistic. Do you realize the show is called Homegrown? It's a show about local art. It's gotta be local. It's gotta be art. It's gotta be at least one of the two. Suddenly we're talking about schools. Yeah, what, you know, here's the idea. Why don't you go on the Sunday morning wake up call? They're about to talk about schools right now, right? You can talk about schools all you want to, but no, you're here on this show. Is it too much to ask? Too much to ask that you actually talk about something that's relevant for what our show's about?
No, apparently it is. Apparently, you know what? In fact, I'm going to go up there right now, and I'm going to tell the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call that apparently they've got a new guest. A new guest someone else can talk about, because I'm just tired of this. This is just can't just got every freaking Sunday. Golly freaking thank you.
All right, well, I was just waiting for Clinton to finish bloviating over there. It was a wonderful show. We thank you so much for listening. We want to thank our guests, Fellow Man and Andy Davis. Please go check out Fellow Man's new mixtape, Raw Data Volume 1. And if you're up for it, the 25th, auditions for Bent Theater. It's a whole lot of fun. You should definitely look into that. All right, well, stay tuned. We have the Sunday Morning Wake Up Call coming up, and we will see you guys next week.